It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. Parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
There'll be parties for hosting and caroling out in the snow.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.
That, of course, was Andy Williams' version of It's a Wonderful Time of Year. And as I said last week, this is the theme that I've picked for this Advent year. Wonderful things this time of year, but I've changed it from the most wonderful time of year to the most wonderful time of year because they're so full of wonder this time of year as well. And these 4 weeks, we're going to deal with the wonderful message that the Bible talks about, especially as they relate to the birth of Jesus. Now, for those of you who don't know that the real reason for Christmas is that Jesus came. It's Jesus' birthday, Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. And this is the wonderful event that we celebrate. And the most wonderful thing that we're going to talk about this morning is God's most wonderful grace. God's most wonderful grace. We sang about it this morning with the wonderful grace of Jesus. And I love that song. Again, it's one of those songs that just fills my heart. And I'm glad we were able to sing it this morning, even though it's not really a Christmas carol. It is about Christmas because grace came to us at Christmas time. It's so true. And because the wonderful grace reaches out to everyone with sufficient grace, far greater than all our sin and shame. And I love that second verse there where it says, by it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. I've been saved to the uttermost. It's not just part of my salvation, not just part of my sins been cleansed, saved to the uttermost. And this morning we're going to look at these two aspects of grace that we see in the Bible about this wonderful time of year. There's two aspects of grace that's so wonderful to us to say. First of all, we're going to look at the grace that changes. This is the first aspect because grace changes us, doesn't it? We see this mentioned in Colossians 1:6, which says this. It says, this same good news that came to you is going out over all the world and is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it has changed your lives from the day you first heard and understand the truth about God's wonderful grace. I love that translation of that verse. You see, notice how Paul, who's writing to the church here in Colossae, starts by mentioning this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ. This good news is that Jesus came to give us God's wonderful grace. It's the story of Christmas and the story of Easter all wrapped up together. And he says, this good news is bearing fruit. Those who were previously unfruitful are now part of the vine of Jesus who he talks about, who John talks about in John 15. They've been grafted into the tree, as it talks about in Romans 11. They are part of that tree planted by streams of living water, as it says in Psalms 1. See, I love this aspect of God's grace because it changes someone from being unproductive, unfruitful, to one who is. God's grace has changed them from something dead and useless and broken to something full of life and useful and producing good things like fruit. It reminds me of the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We are a new thing. That's why we sing songs like The Wonderful Grace of Jesus, because the old is now gone, the new has come. We are brand new creatures. Without Christ, we could not be changed. But when Christ came and died for us, he can give us this new life. We are changed by grace. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9 says this. It's because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. You see, what amazes me many times is people who try to do things to gain God's favor. Do things to try to gain God's grace. They think if they're a good person, or if they say the right things. They think if they go to church or listen to sermons on the internet. They think if they give money to charities. They think if they don't commit major sins like murder or adultery or stealing, that they'll be all right. They think if they were baptized as infants or had parents that come to church. They think if they are members of a church even, or help out maybe at a rescue mission during the Thanksgiving or Christmas season, that they'll be okay. They try all kinds of things, try to do all the kind of right things, and yet the Bible tells us it's only by grace that you've been saved. It's not of your works. No one can boast that I've gotten God's grace because I've earned it. None of us have earned God's grace. It only comes from God. This is the grace that God gives out of his love, gives out of his mercy, his riches and mercies, it says here in Ephesians. It's grace that is freely given as a gift. This grace is not something you can boast about because you have nothing to do with it. God says, here, my grace is for you, and my grace is so wonderful. All we need is faith. Faith believing that Jesus came to earth as a baby. Faith that only Jesus lived a sinless life that was not worthy of death, but who died in our place, who paid a penalty for our sin and for our death, and then who rose over sin in the grave victorious. This is the gift of grace, greater than all our sins, grace that covers all of our guilt. And as we also sang, gifts, the hope of heaven to us as well. This grace gives us so much more, and we talked about that a little bit last week. But I like this morning this idea of change, because we've been looking at Paul the last several months in his letter to the Philippians. And Paul described his life before he met Christ and told us how his life was after he met Christ. Before Christ, Paul was someone who tried to do everything it was to earn his salvation, to gain God's righteousness. He was trying on his own to earn what God gave to him. He followed the Old Testament laws. He was a Pharisee, Paul says, and diligently studied the Bible. He even persecuted those he thought were heretics. But then he met Christ on that road to the city of Damascus. And as he wrote the books to the Philippians, he said, whatever I considered gain back then, I now consider loss. Why? Because of God's surpassing grace upon me. It's not something I can earn. Those things are rubbish. Those things are garbage compared to God's grace, his wonderful grace that he's given to me. And so many people down through the years have experienced this kind of change when grace came into their life. A change from the worst of sinners to the greatest of saints. All because of one word, grace. And so this morning I ask you, have you experienced that word in your life? Have you experienced the grace of Jesus given to you by God? Do you understand how this grace can change people? If not, this is the perfect time of year to give your heart to Jesus. Perfect time to experience God's grace in the form of a baby. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul says, I am the chief. That is the promise of the season. That's the joy of the season. That's why Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. Don't wait any longer. Don't let another day pass without experiencing this Christmas grace. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. God's grace can change you. God's grace can come in to your unfruitful life and give you a life that bears much fruit. So what are you waiting for? All you need to do is simply ask God to show you his grace and to help you live the right kind of in the light of that grace. Make this Christmas extra special this year. If you have not known him, receive God's wonderful grace that changes you. But there's a second aspect I want to mention this morning. Not only a grace that changes, but a grace that charges. One little letter makes all the difference, doesn't it? The second aspect of grace this morning is the grace that charges us. Let me look at Acts chapter 20, verse 24. It says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing of the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Paul here in the book of Acts is speaking to some people from the church in Ephesus. He's on his way back to Jerusalem to finish his, what we call, the third missionary journey. The third time he went out, he's traveling on his way back, and he's coming through Ephesus. Actually, he didn't go through Ephesus at the time. He just asked some people to come down to him to where he was at the docks. And he mentions these things to these people here. He's taking this money from various churches in Macedonia and Asia back to Jerusalem that we learned last week in 2 Corinthians. And in this one, in this verse, just before this one, Paul mentions that God has warned him many times in many dreams and visions that his trip to Jerusalem meant hardship and imprisonment. And yet, he feels this compulsion to go to Jerusalem anyways. And then he writes this to them. He says, but my life is worth nothing unless I'm going to finish the work that God has called me to do. Unless I finish this work that this grace that God has given to me has compelled me to do. Because it's charging me to do this. He felt compelled to go. For some reason, the same Holy Spirit showed Paul trouble in the future was still telling him to go. Why? Because he felt this grace that God has given to him was a charge or a command, a mission that he needed to complete. He needed to finish this work. He was not done telling others about God's wonderful grace. You see, God's grace is so wonderful, you cannot, you should not keep it to yourself. Those that know you, or better yet, knew you before you were changed by God's grace, might see a change in you, but hopefully they see a charge in you as well. Hopefully you're living a life that others around you who may not know you can see the grace of God in you. You need to share that grace with others. And I'm not just talking lifestyle. Part of the change might be a change in how you act. But because of God's grace for us, in this instance, you might need to be more gracious to others. You might need to display God's graciousness through the spiritual gifts we talked about last week. But that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about sharing with others the news, the good news about the wonderful grace of Jesus. He has this compulsion to tell others the good news that he himself had received. That it was a charge. Now, I'm wearing my Grinch tie this morning, and again, I was thinking about this last week about change and how in the Grinch's life, his life changed, and yet he too was going to tell others about this change that he had. And this is the slide that I came up with. It says, and what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart, grew 3 sizes that day. It changed him, and yet it was also a charge to him because we see him, even at the end, they're carving the roast beast at the end. And he was telling others, he was sharing others about his changed life and how his heart was expanded that day because of the grace that was shown to him, right? Mary Lou Who gave him the grace, even though he did not deserve it, did he, when he was stealing those Christmas gifts. It's another picture of grace that not only changes, but like I said, charges. And think that if your life had been changed, think if your life had been changed by grace, you cannot help but feel that charge inside of you. If you truly have experienced the wonderful grace of Jesus, like the song says, we need to sing it out. We need to praise the Lord. We need to show others. That's a charge that we have. Now, some people try to suppress this charge. They may try to ignore it or try to downplay it, disregard it in some ways. Some people may even get to the point of hardening their hearts to this change in their lives that they're being charged to do. But if you truly want to experience the fullness and wonderfulness of God's grace, you need to share it. You have that charge that God has given to you. In fact, there's other places in the scriptures where this grace charges people to tell others. We see it in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. It says, with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. I don't think that God gave them more grace. It was because they were telling others that this grace was given more upon them. That much grace was upon them because they were sharing. They're testifying about this. This early church had just experienced, just before this verse, intense persecution for the first time. Peter and John were thrown into prison, and they were threatened with further punishment if they continued to preach this news that they've been preaching. After all, it says, with great power, these apostles continue testifying. And this is that phrase is one that I pray for this church, that much grace would be upon us all. Because I want GMC to be one experiences that everyone experiences here is God's grace. I want people that come here or who listen online think, this is a place where I can feel the grace of God. You see, Groveland Missionary Church has much grace and displays much grace. I want them to think that. I want that be in the back of their mind. But for that second part to happen, we need to do more of the first part and continue testifying of the resurrection, it says here in Acts. Do the first part of this verse, that great power will help us testify. If we want to have much grace upon them all, we need to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell others there is a way to be saved. There is a cleansing from sin. And that cleansing will charge us anew. A grace that's needed to be testified about and to be told to others. And so I hope that's what Christmas is all about here at this church. For those of us who do know Jesus, who do know that change, that we are charged. There's an old hymn, a charge to keep I have, to glorify the Lord. I was going to put that in here this morning, but there's all kinds of things, songs about grace in our hymn books, and I can't put them all in one Sunday. But that charge that we have to glorify our Lord, to testify to others, is something that should lay upon us all. We should be telling people about Jesus. We should receive anew that grace that charges and challenges us to tell others about Jesus, to let others know how great our God is, how great his grace is. So great that he sent his one and only son to be born as a baby one Christmas night. That's our charge. That's what God is calling us to do today, to reach out to tell others about this wonderful grace of Jesus. So this Christmas, let's experience and share God's most wonderful grace to others. It's not just grace that changes. I hope it does that. I hope that someone listening even today might even realize their need for a Savior. And they say, let me experience God's grace and God's goodness in my life. But I hope even more so that we experience the wonder of grace that changes, or that charges us, I should say. Just so small of a letter here in my notes there. Charges and changes, a little N and R. I get it all mixed up. I hope we experience this grace that charges us, a grace that makes us want to tell others about the life-changing work of God through Jesus. This is the grace that charges us to spread his love and spread his joy at this time of year and throughout the year. But I want this Christmas to be magical, to be the most wonderful time of the year, and to tell someone about it. Make this Christmas not just about the birth of Jesus, but a new birth into God's family. I'm not sure if you remember, but last Christmas I played a little song for you called The Light of Christmas by Toby Mac. It's probably on the radio again this year. I have not heard it myself, but I'm sure it's still out there because the chorus goes, "Light me up and I'll show you the way. Every year, can't wait for Christmas lay. Light me up, I finally figured out what Christmas is all about." And in the verses, it talks about our need to let our light shine to others. That charge to spread our light, to shine our light. I want this to be our prayer here at Groveland Missionary, that our light would shine out, that we would receive this charge. This electrical charge, if you want to be kind of more figurative about this. Our charge to light out and be a light to the world around us. Shining Jesus in everyone's life that we come in contact with. You see, this is the message that the angels first brought, right? This is the angels that said, hey, we're going to bring you the light to earth that first Christmas. But since that first Christmas, who's now the light? We are. Christians, we're the angels now that's telling the world, hey, come to the Bethlehem and see this whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Let us be like those angels in the realms of glory that we're going to sing about here in a minute. The angels bringing others to worship him, to adore him.